Welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge with Sandra Sedgbeer on Vivid Life Radio. Sandra engages in thought-provoking conversations with the teachers, authors, scientists, and researchers working at the cutting edge where science and spirituality meet. If you're open to shifting your perceptions and expanding your awareness, pull up a chair and get ready to play in the field of possibilities. And here's Sandy.
Hello and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgbeer. And tonight, we're going to be talking about money, which is something we all think about a great deal. Except tonight, we're talking about money and spirituality. And those two words really seem to go together. I wonder why that is. My guest tonight is Arjuna Arda, who teaches singles and couples how to integrate awakening consciousness into intimate relationship. An awakening coach, writer, and speaker, Arjuna is the author of 8 books, including the best-selling The Translucent Revolution, featured in O Magazine, Better Than Sex, and his latest, Conscious Men, co-written with John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Arjuna, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Sandy. I've been looking forward so much to talking to you again.
Well, money and spirituality. I mean, like many teachers working in the conscious arena, you've often been asked why you charge for the work you do. Most of us would feel insulted if asked to work in the corporate arena for free. So why is it that we have such a double standard, this awful dividing line between money and spirituality?
Well, you know, I think we've got to look for the original intelligence in everything, Sandy. I mean, no belief or custom about anything really started out crazy. It all started with some wisdom. And I think in this case, when we want to be of service to people, when there's a genuine interest to serve others and to be in service to something greater than our own mind, one of the things that really gets in the way of that is self-interest. You know, if you're always thinking about yourself and me and my needs and me and my needs, that somehow cuts you off from feeling connected to the force that gives us all life. And in the kind of psychological terms, we could say thinking about me and my needs is what we call ego, and letting go of me and my needs is what we call surrender. Therefore, that's the intelligent aspect of it. The intelligent aspect of this split is that we realize that too much preoccupation with how can I get more for me actually smudges over or precludes a deeper connection with spirit. So that you could say is the positive side of it. Now, of course, we can balance that and see what happens if that attitude goes overboard.
Well, you know, it's an interesting one because everyone I speak to seems to have some kind of challenging relationship with money. When I mentioned in my newsletter that this was going to be the topic of tonight's show, I had a response from a lady called Jane who said that this question about spirituality and money has bothered me for a long time. You know, yeah. I don't mind about people receiving pay for the spiritually related services they provide, but what nags me is that people who can't access anything because of money. Does that mean that these services are only for those with money?
Well, you know, your show is all about infinite possibilities, isn't it? So
yeah.
I think when we talk about infinite possibilities, we've really got to question the word can't. You know, when somebody says, I can't get access to money, what exactly does that mean? It's I would want the word can't to be carefully explained to me before I made a decision based upon it. Now, I can tell you what we do in our case, and this is maybe going to be this is like a diving from the general to the personal. I can tell you how I operate for a minute, and this perhaps will shine a bit of a light on the conversation. I actually don't really charge exactly for anything, right? So I have a coaching school, Awakening Coaching. I've trained 1,800 coaches. And actually, believe it or not, training coaches is not really a profitable business because it costs a lot to do it well. You need a good staff, you need good websites, you need a lot of stuff. You need administrative staff, teaching staff. So what I've discovered is running a coaching business, which is really my vocation, my calling in life, it's what I want to leave behind as a legacy, as all these coaches I've trained, there doesn't seem to be enough profit left over for me to get paid. And I'm completely okay with that. I'm not complaining. I get to do what I love, and coaches get trained, and I consider it a privilege to lead this kind of an endeavor. So I actually earn my income. I do need some money, and I earn my income from my private coaching clients. I get paid, generally get paid quite well for coaching because I'm very, very good at it, and I help people to create incredible results in the field of kind of creativity. I'm really good at helping people to manifest a book or a movie or a new product, and very good at taking things from ideas to actuality. But here's the thing. People ask me, how much do you charge for coaching? And I say, I don't have any published fees at all. I don't charge anything. I do accept money, but I don't have fixed charges. I let my clients decide what they want to pay, right? So we get together. I get together with a potential client, and we talk about the project they have, and I explain to them the kind of support I think they need and the support I could provide. And then I ask them, what do you think you would want to invest? And really, I'm interested, when they tell me what they want to invest, I'm really interested to find out if that figure, based upon their life circumstances, if that figure is actually indicative of a real commitment. So I'm looking at the money basically as a way for them to create commitment more than for me to get my needs met. But interestingly, as a byproduct to all of that, I actually find that I don't need to think about money. Money's just there. It's a strange situation, but same thing. You know, you were talking about this book with John Gray. I mean, you can't imagine what fun it was to write a book with John Gray. We're doing two more books together now, so we'll be coming back on your show, I hope, for that too. So, I mean, working with John Gray is the greatest fun in the world. He's like the perfect brother. You know, he's just a really fun guy to work with, and really, all that was happening is he and I were hanging out together, having fun, discussing the thing that we most love, discussing the exploration of conscious masculinity. Well, that was a super fun thing. You know, for me to hang out with one of the people I most respect in the world, I felt like I would have paid for that. But lo and behold, we recorded the conversations, they got transcribed, they got edited, we've got this great book, and I'm actually getting paid. Publishers are paying us money for that book. Although I never went into it for money. And I think that's a really good way to approach this question, is you do what you love, you do what can be of most service, and you somehow, if you just relax and allow other people to decide what you're going to get paid, you'll actually probably get more than you ever would by worrying. Well, what do you think about that?
You know, I know a lot of people who've tried playing with spiritual teachers who've tried, you know, different models, and several have actually said, I'm not going to charge anything. I'm going to say to people, make a donation of what you feel it's worth. And you know what's happened in every case? They've had to go back to charging because they couldn't afford to eat. People would not pay what it was worth.
Yeah.
So I think what we're talking about is value.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a difference between people who are paying for a group experience and people who are paying for an individual experience. So when someone pays for a group experience to come to a weekend seminar, for example, there are hard costs involved, and they're never paying me. You know, if somebody comes for a weekend, they're paying the organizer. The organizer has costs, and the money actually gets split between the organizer and our organization. I personally don't really see any of that. So I think it's important to understand that things have to be paid for. You know, if a group of people are going to get together for the weekend and do something interesting in a location that involves travel, there are expenses that have to be paid. The rent of the room has to be paid. There are lots of things that have to be paid. And obviously the easiest way for those expenses to get covered is the people who are participating all chip in and we have a great time. Now, what you're talking about, people determining their own fees, I think that's very different for a group experience and for an individual experience. You could think of it like, you could think of it like if 10 of us, 20 of us all went and did something together. Let's say we all went and we all decided to go and rent a house. It would seem reasonable to split the cost among all of us. But if it's one person involved, then actually there can be a more private negotiation about what seems right. What can you afford? What do you feel comfortable with? What am I willing to work for you with? And so then it can be more individual. But the point I'm trying to make here, actually, the point underneath this is I've experienced, first of all, there is plenty of liquid money in the world. There's lots of money, lots and 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 lots of money sitting around in bank accounts not doing anything. There's plenty of money in the world. It tends to get blocked because people get fearful or they get greedy. But basically, there's plenty of money there. And I think the most important thing, Sandy, for anyone who wants to help people is this. The most important thing is, first of all, to recognize I'm a good person. I want to help people. I have good motives. It's really important to recognize that. And if there is any doubt that I'm a good person, I want to help people, and I have pure motives, if there's any doubt, it's necessary to do some kind of work around it to free that up. The second thing is to recognize there is plenty of money. For the services I'm offering, there is plenty of money available in the world. And the third thing is to recognize very simply, just as much as anybody else, I deserve some of the liquid money, you know? Just as much as everybody else does, I also deserve some. And if you can actually get yourself into a place where you relaxedly feel, why shouldn't I have some too? You know, it's like when it's Christmas time, you don't prepare for Christmas and say, everybody else should get a Christmas present, but I shouldn't get one. You kind of relaxedly know if you get together with your family, everyone's going to get gifts and you're going to get gifts too. You don't have to worry. Everyone's going to get gifts. It's just part of how Christmas is. When it rains, you don't have to worry that everybody else will get wet and you won't get wet. You're going to get wet just like everybody else if you walk out in the rain. So if we actually let go of some kind of idea about it, we realize we are swimming in a world where there is money. Unfortunately, there is greed and fear, so we get stuck. But essentially, there is enough liquid money in this system we've created to allow people to be taken care of.
You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with best-selling author and teacher Arjuna Arda about why so many people think that money and spirituality do not go together. We'll be back in a few moments to continue the conversation.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgbeer.com and discover what 30 years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do for you.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author Arjuna Arda about money and spirituality. Arjuna, there's a couple of things I just want to share with you. One is that a friend of mine who is a healer was always being asked about, should you not be charging because, you know, this is a God-given gift, and you shouldn't charge for God-given gifts. And he got around that in the end by just saying, well, I'm charging you for my time. The healing is free. And people seem to you know, accept that one. At the same time, I used to produce an online spiritual magazine. And when I started charging a small amount for it, I got emails from people saying to me, if you're earning one penny from this project, you're the spawn of the devil. Now, it's an interesting thing because right now we're living in a time where people are questioning what they will pay for. I mean, time was we paid for everything. It was a straightforward exchange. Now people are saying, if it's on the internet, I don't want to have to pay for it. You know, I'll buy a magazine in a store or a book, but if it's on the internet, I don't want to pay for it. So you say it's not really money that's the problem here. It's the addiction to more that gets us into trouble. So unravel this one for me.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's the same with many things. Let's just, because money is such a charged topic, let's shift the conversation to a parallel. And let's think about, for example, food. Right? Now everybody eats food. If you stop eating food, you're going to die. So food is good. No one's going to say we shouldn't have food. But there are people who get addicted to food. I have a friend I was talking to last night, and his daughter, I think, is maybe 23. And when I last saw her, she was, you know, fairly normal sort of size and weight. And now he told me she weighs 300 pounds. Well, you can imagine he is worried to death about that at, you know, at age 23. 300 pounds, it's very much. So, and she's eating the wrong thing. She's eating junk food and she's eating lots of it. So the problem is not that she should not be eating. The problem is she's got an addiction problem. The same thing, having a glass of red wine now and then is good for your health. It's been proven that people in Southern Europe who drink red wine actually enjoy longer lives. And we could go on with many things, that there are many, many things which when consumed in a normal way, are healthy. When they are over-consumed, they become unhealthy. And it's important, I think, to understand with addiction, the mechanics of addiction. Addiction is not only to do with a compulsive desire for more. Addiction is almost always connected to a fear, a craving, a fear, either physical or psychological, of not having enough. So actually, people who really overeat and who get very overweight, they have psychologically the fear of starving to death. So they kind of they consume because they're afraid they're going to starve. And so very often, when you do some kind of hypnosis or regression or something with someone who's got an overeating problem, you discover that early in their life they feared starvation, or they didn't get fed properly as a child. So in the same way, now we put the parallel over to money, you see, you can't live without money. You can't live in this society without money. You need money for food. You need money for rent or mortgage. You need money for gas for your car. You need money for the car itself. No one would say we shouldn't have money. It's the addiction to money that's the problem. And the addiction to money is based in greed. But greed is sitting on the shoulders of fear. It's the fear of not having enough. So I believe that a really helpful practice, a healthy practice, that everybody listening to this radio show can start today. This is a practice you can adopt immediately, and it will help you very, very much. A great practice is to consider the idea of enough, right? Enough, the word enough, E-N-O-U-G-H. Take a piece of paper and write that word at the top of the page, enough. And it's a great thing to enter into the embrace of enoughness, which means like this: I have enough books. I have enough toys. I have a good enough car. I have a good enough house. I have a big enough house. I have enough clothes. And if I actually consider all these things, I realize it's true. I do have enough clothes. I own enough clothes. I don't need to go clothes shopping for a couple of years. I have enough electronic toys. I don't really need the latest iPhone when it comes out. I actually have, if I consider it logically, I really have enough of everything to be able to give my gift. And that includes I have enough money in the bank account, and I have enough money coming to me that I already know is coming, that I don't really have an issue. Now, this may sound obvious when we talk about it. It may be logically obvious, but of course you do. But most people, most of us, we get into fear and craving around money because we simply forget the consideration of enoughness. We simply forget to notice that we have enough, you see, to open the fridge and say, I have enough food, right? And it can just keep going. I have enough friends. I don't need to keep getting more. I have enough Facebook friends. I'm selling enough books. I don't need to push myself higher on the Amazon, on the New York Times bestseller list. If you actually contemplate, deeply, 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 deeply contemplate the reality of enoughness, something eventually shifts. If you write it down, take a piece of paper, write enough at the top, and just keep writing statements acknowledging enough. I have enough money, I have enough this, I have enough that. Keep doing that, and eventually something will click, and you will realize, wow, I can relax. I can relax in this moment and enjoy my enoughness. And then an interesting thing happens. When you relax into the realization of enoughness, your life flips. It does a somersault into a relationship to reality which is both playful and creative, but also generous. You realize I've got enough, but what am I going to do with my life if I'm not just busy trying to accumulate more? Well, I can play. I can be part of the game. I can be part of the dance. And then it's not that money disappears. Money stays a part of your life, but you're not trying to get money. In fact, it's far from your attention. What you're doing is serving people, helping people, writing books, making music, doing whatever, making art, doing whatever you love, and somewhere in the background, completely out of your attention, money is dropping into your bank account at just the right rate to allow you to continue giving your gift. But the most powerful thing, if you're listening to this show today, if you have any kind of fears or craving around money, if you're not at peace with money, and I wish I sympathize if you're not, because I certainly know what that's like, the fastest and the most effective practice to antidote that is to practice enoughness, to deeply contemplate the reality of enoughness in your life.
You know, what occurs to me, I mean, you talk about fear, and you're absolutely right, because most people have enough for today. They have enough for right now, but what keeps them enslaved to it all is the fear that they might not have enough for next year and the year after and the year after. So yeah, they're projecting themselves out of the present moment, and it's their fear that's driving them to want to accumulate more.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, exactly. And the thing is, how are you able to say that to me, and how am I able to recognize what you're talking about? Because we both know that. You know, these forces are collective. It's not this person's problem and not that person's problem. We all of us know what that's like. I'm sure you just described that syndrome of being afraid for money in the future because you probably experienced it subjectively, right? You've been there.
Oh yeah.
And I've been there too. So we all know what it's like. It's part of the collective mind. We're being encouraged to feel that way all the time by advertising because it keeps us on the treadmill. So once you notice that that's an erroneous thought, you can antidote it. The best thing to do with an erroneous thought is antidote it. And you can antidote an erroneous thought through the practice of enoughness, but also the practice of gratitude. And I do that with my wife. As we go to bed at night, we switch off the light, we lay there in the dark, we're very kind of cuddly, and then we just go backwards and forwards saying thank you. Not to each other, but thank you to life, you know. Thank you for the food I ate today. Thank you that I live in a warm house. Thank you that I have a lovely marriage. Thank you my kids are doing well. Thank you that I have two cars. Thank you that I live in a big garden, which is bountiful. And we just keep going till we fall asleep, you know, practicing gratitude. And those two muscles, consciously, deliberately exercise, enoughness and gratitude, will free you to a transformed relationship with money, where it's not that you push it away or you hate it or you don't have it. Money takes care of itself in the background as a byproduct of you being generous and sharing your gifts with the world.
Arjuna, you have just given the perfect two words to end this show, enoughness and gratitude. If you're grateful for what you've got, then you've got enough. And if you've got enough, then there's no need to have any fear. Thank you so much for joining me in this topic tonight.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. You are the best. You are actually the best interviewer. I just love you. You're terrific.
Oh, thank you. And I hear the book is doing really well, Conscious Men. So, hey, if you're interested in Conscious Men, go out and buy it. It's on Amazon. And I think you've got the book, the website, Conscious Men?
ConsciousMen.com. Yeah, easy to remember.
ConsciousMen.com. Arjuna, thank you. I look forward to talking with you again.
Bless you, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Take care. That brings us to the end of this show. For more information about future guests, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.sedgebeer.com. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgebeer. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, don't forget you can listen to more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge on Vivid Life Radio, helping you discover more of who you are so you can live more of the life you were born to live. Join us same time next week for another conversation at the cutting edge.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.